say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you. I'm in awe of why you do, why you do, why you do. I'm in awe of you.
This is Corey from Bible Baptist Church in West Union, Ohio. You're listening to Here's Hope with Pastor Tim Carter. Let's listen to the message.
Paul told us in the Bible not to forsake the doctrines that we have been taught. Doctrine just means teachings. And in the Christian faith, there are foundational, fundamental beliefs that we must hold on to. And we must not lose, not because we're holding on to tradition, but because we're holding on to truth that is fundamental and foundational to this Christian faith. And if those teachings go out the door because of liberalism or because of our lack of faith to believe what God did, then we're going to turn into nothing more than just a social club, and we may as well close the doors and we may as well go home this morning. But because of those truths, we're here, and there's power in God. God had been setting things up for years to show us what he was planning on doing. I love the song about the blood. In liberal theology and liberal Bible teachings in our day, they discount, they do away with the blood. It's offensive to so many people to talk about the blood, but the blood is important. God began to establish in the book of Exodus a pattern for what he was going to accomplish when he sent his only begotten son. And it was found when the nation of Israel was in captivity in Egypt. They were in bondage under Pharaoh. And God told them, he said, you know, this is the 10th one. This is the last plague that I'm going to bring on Egypt. And this time, Pharaoh is going to let you go. So you need to be packed and you need to be ready to go. And he said, and by the way, there's something I want you to do before you leave tomorrow. He said, tonight I want you to take a lamb. I want you to get this set up. On this night, I want you to take a lamb. And they had specific qualifications for the lamb, that it had to be this type, and it had to be this age, and it had to be perfect. It couldn't have spot or blemish. And you take that lamb, and you're going to kill that lamb, and you're going to take the blood of that little innocent lamb. That lamb is going to die because of your sins. That lamb is going to die because of the wrong that you have done. And that God began to set a precedent that a lamb was going to have to die in the place, an innocent lamb, in the place of human beings, that because of our sins, something or someone in particular had to die. And they did kill that little lamb. And God gave them this promise that if you follow what I'm telling you to do, if you do it by faith, and you take the blood of that little lamb, and you guys, you get your family and you get inside your house, and you take the blood of that lamb, and you put it on the sides of the doorpost, and you put it on the top of the door, and that will be an indicator. See, because they believed God, because they were people of faith, and I know to a lot of folks, maybe even here this morning, you went, what's the purpose of that? Well, the lamb died in their place, and it was a designation that there were believers in that home. And when the death angel, God said, when the death angel comes in this night into the land of Egypt, when he comes past your house and he sees the blood on the door, the sides of the around the door, he'll bypass your house and judgment will not come upon your home. And the curse of the firstborn, or the death of the firstborn, will not happen to your home. And it was a precedent set all the way back in the book of Exodus underneath the law of God. And the Jews had maintained that what they called the Passover, because the lamb that died that night, that was called the Passover. But God's plan was much bigger than a bunch of innocent sheep dying in the place of human beings. The truth is, God was setting a pattern for what he was going to do one day when he brought the Messiah into the world. Now, all the way back in Genesis chapter number 1, God began to reveal to us that because of sin that came into the world, a Christ, a Messiah, was going to come. For 4,000 years, God had promised that the Messiah, the Christ, would be here. He told us where he was going to be born in one place in the Old Testament. He even told us how he was going to die, and his friend was going to betray him, that he was going to be sold for 30 pieces of silver. And over, in one prophecy after another, God began to reveal to us what it was going to be like, where he was going to be born, what he would act like, what he would do. It even in one place tells us, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bear, shall give birth to a son, and they'll call his name Emmanuel." And Emmanuel means God with us. And this boy, it was going to be a son. And this boy was going to be born from a virgin in a way that no other baby has ever been born into the world. And that God was going to bring not just a normal human being boy into the world, but this boy wasn't going to be a person like you and me. He was going to be God in human flesh. And it would be God himself come into the world, and God, Emmanuel, with us. And that when he would come, that he would save his people from their sins. That was the promise. For 4,000 years, there were prophecies about that event as God laid down patterns of how this was going to be accomplished and why he would do it this way. And then, about 2,000 years ago, he came into the world. We celebrate his birth on Christmas. And we celebrate even this very important time of the resurrection now here at Easter time. But people need to learn about Jesus Christ. None of us came into the world knowing about Jesus Christ in and of ourselves. That's why there's preachers, and that's why we have missionaries, because people need to know, why is Jesus important to me? And that's why you're here. If you don't already know, God put you here to hear the message of why Jesus Christ was important. Well, he came into the world, he was born of a virgin, but people didn't really recognize that much. He grew up, and he never did a wrong thing ever in his life. At 30 years of age, he began his ministry. And he started out, his first miracle was he turned water into wine. And then he began to do greater things than that. We understand that that was a small thing. And people began to understand that this Jesus was not normal like you and me. He gave sight to the blind, the people that could not walk, that were lame. Just at a word, Jesus Christ could heal them. In fact, they began to realize that he could heal all manner, that means all type of diseases. People that were possessed with devils. Jesus Christ could speak a word and those devils would come out of people that had been raving lunatics for years and years, and now they would become and be sitting in their right mind. Jesus was so great, he could take a boy's lunch and he could pray over that lunch, and 5,000 and then 7,000 people could be fed just because Jesus prayed over someone's lunch. They were in a boat one time. In fact, on two occasions, they really understood the power of Jesus Christ. And they said, "Jesus, we're going to die. Don't you care that we perish?" And he simply stood up in the boat and he said, "Peace be still." And the storm went away immediately and the water went flat, flat as a piece of glass. Because he had power. And the disciples that day, those apostles, they said, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey his will?" Right. When he taught like no other man. And then one day they pressed him and they said, "If you really are the Christ, give us a sign." And Jesus said these words. He said, "To this generation no sign will be given except the sign of Jonah the prophet. As Jonah the prophet was swallowed by a whale, and he was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, 3 nights, so the Son of Man will be 3 days, nights in the earth, and then he will come back. Destroy this temple," speaking about his body, "and in 3 days, I'll raise it up again." And they began to realize, this guy is legit. Lots of people flocked to people, multitudes of people flocked to Jesus Christ to hear the message. He transformed the world. He transformed the calendar. And he still is transforming lives today. When they had some people that hated him so bad because he was a threat to them. The religious leaders of the day, they organized what the scripture already told us was going to happen. That they would find someone that would sell out and betray Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. And they lied about him and they made up stories because there was nothing legitimate that they could come up with to say that he had done bad. And they arrested him and they took him down and they crucified him. And the religious leaders that day, as Jesus hung on the cross, they looked at him and the Bible says they derided him as the rulers, the Pharisees and the scribes. They looked at Jesus and said, "He can save others, but himself he cannot save." This was the challenge. If you are the Christ, come down from the cross. Come down from there. If you really are who you say you are. But see, what they didn't realize is, because they weren't people of faith, that they didn't realize that God had set the precedent. That's like saying that somebody could have been safe years ago without killing the lamb and shedding the blood and being in a home. See, the lamb must die, for it's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from all sin. And the lamb must die, and the lamb's blood must be shed. He had to die. Despite the thoughts, the popular thought of the religious leaders of the day, who only saw it as, hey, save your life. But see, this life is short and it's temporary. And what's more amazing, that Jesus could keep a man alive, or that he could resurrect him from the grave. Now think about that. Jesus had three friends that were particularly close to him: Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus. They called him one day. See, they knew about Jesus, and they knew that when Lazarus got sick, that if Jesus came, they knew he had power over people when they were alive. They knew that. And they knew if we can just get a message to Jesus fast enough, and if he would show up over here quickly enough, that Jesus, if he could make it here before Lazarus' last breath, that Jesus would turn this whole thing around and Lazarus would be fine. But Jesus got the message, but he didn't show up on purpose for 3 days. By the time Jesus got there, he's dead. And one of the sisters comes running out to Jesus and said, hey, our brother Lazarus has died. If you would just have been here, he wouldn't have died. See, but they knew Jesus could keep people alive. What they needed to know is that Jesus can raise people from the dead. And the only way to do that is he had to let his friend Lazarus die. And Jesus said to her, he said, your brother will rise in the resurrection. See, because the Jews had heard, and Jesus had been inspiring scripture all in that Old Testament, and they had heard about this event called the resurrection, where a believer, even though their body would die, that they would get to be with God. But one day, these bodies would be changed, and that this corruptible body would come out of the grave, and what's called a resurrection, and they would get a new body, and that soul would be reunited with the body. And the Jews believed it, and we Christians believe with all of our hearts in the resurrection from the dead of those people that are believers. We believe that with all that's in us. But the precedent, see, is this. If Jesus can he save other people, but he can't save himself? What if Jesus says he has the power to raise someone from the grave? How could he ever raise us from the grave if he can't even come out of the grave himself? And he's what's called an exemplar. He's the pattern. It's like taking a master copy and putting it on the copier, and what you see from the master is what he's going to be able to reproduce in those that follow him. And if Jesus can't rise from the grave, how is he ever going to raise us from the grave? Jesus said he'll rise in the resurrection. She said, I know he will. I know he will. Jesus said, I am the resurrection, and I am the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, though your body would die, yet shall he live. And then he looked at her that day and he said, do you believe this? See, and this is one of the cardinal, basic, fundamental doctrines of this Christian faith and of the Jewish faith, even though they don't believe in Jesus like we do, is the fact of a future resurrection that is real and that is coming. Well, Jesus deals with her about her unbelief, and he establishes truth that he's the resurrection and the life, that he controls who gets to come back out of the grave, and Jesus controls who gets everlasting life. And he walks over to the tomb that day, and he says some simple words, Lazarus, come forth. And immediately, here comes Lazarus, and we see that Jesus Christ has power over people, not just when they're alive, but after you're dead too. Amen. That's the man they hung up on the cross. And they derided him, they ridiculed him, they made fun of him. And it's like, here's the Savior. Yeah, here's the guy that can save people, but he can't even save himself. If you really are the Christ, come down from the cross. But he couldn't come down from the cross that day. But they buried his body. And as it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week, something had happened. And it's still a fact today that's still converting anyone who will truly check out the resurrection. And it has converted many an unbeliever to try to disprove the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if he can come out of the grave by his own power, Amen. He surely has power to raise us from the grave. Amen. Now, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he died somewhere. Some people say A.D. 30. Some people say A.D. 33. And so while we may not know for sure which year, we do know this for sure. We do know that he did die and that he did rise from the grave. And somewhere around 59 years, so 20-some years later, there was a church that had been established in the city of Corinth. Corinth was a city. It wasn't a town like what we live in. It was bigger than West Union. But it was just as much a legitimate church there in Corinth as we have here in West Union. And when Paul, who had started that church, and he taught them these basic fundamental beliefs that were truth that they needed to hold on to, after he had left from establishing that church, there were some among the congregation that began to say, well, there really was not a resurrection. And they began to downplay the importance of the physical, bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Paul is absolutely offended by this, and he knows we have to send a letter, and we got to address this issue right here, because if you don't believe that Jesus resurrected from the grave, it makes the whole Christian system collapse. Listen, if Jesus did not resurrect from the grave, he cannot help you. If he cannot even save himself, how could he ever save us? If he can't resurrect himself, how could he ever resurrect himself? Now, he had to die that day on the cross. But the question is, can he save you? And one day, if your body dies, can Jesus control where you go, up or whether you go down? Now, that's the issue. And Paul knows, hey, this is not some fairy tale we made up like Humpty Dumpty or the three little mice. This is a historical fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he's like, boys, you need to get this thing straight right now in that church at Corinth. Right. Chapter 15, verse number 1 goes like this. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein in that thing you stand. He's like, this is how you guys are even saved, unless your faith is in vain. See, now, if you got faith in a resurrected Savior, God become a human man, come to the earth, and died on the cross and shed his blood for your sins, if you've got faith in a legitimate Savior, you'll be saved. But if your faith is in something else, and he says, this is the message that we taught to you, verse number 2, by which also you are saved. What? That Jesus Christ died, and that he was buried, and on the third day, he rose again. Amen. That's the gospel message. It is the foundational, fundamental belief that upholds the Christian faith. If the resurrection is gone, you can take the Christian faith, and you can throw it in the trash can, because it's not any more legitimate than the Muslim faith. It's not any more legitimate than the Buddhist faith. It's not any more legitimate than any other belief system out there, if we don't have a risen Savior. Because that's what they've got. But we got something better than what they got. Our God came down here and put on a human body. And our God, they killed him. But he rose again on the third day. And that's the strength of the Christian faith. And that there is one way. There's one way to heaven. And his name is Jesus Christ. And it's foundational. It's fundamental to the Christian faith. And these liberals want to throw it out. And don't you fall into the trap to think that Jesus Christ didn't resurrect bodily from the grave. I don't need no spiritual resurrection. I need me a physical resurrection, because one of these days I'm physically going to die, and I need somebody that can physically raise me from the grave. And Jesus Christ has that power. Verse 3, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. It was foretold this was going to happen. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, and then he was seen of 12. It wasn't one guy that saw him after he resurrected from the grave. Verse number 6, and after that he was seen of above 500. More than 500 people saw Jesus Christ after he resurrected from the grave. This was not some event that one person saw it in a corner somewhere, and that it just some story went around. Over 500 people saw Jesus Christ bodily after his resurrection. This is a historical fact. And as much as they try to cover it up, play it down, the truth is, those who do the research really know this did take place. And after that, in fact, he goes on to say, even in AD 59, 20-some years later, of whom the greater part of those 500 people, most of them are still alive unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Some have passed away. But after that, after the 500, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. He's like, I'm not talking to you about something I haven't experienced here. It's like, I saw Jesus Christ. I know he resurrected from the grave. He met me on the way. And I'm not the only one that has seen him after the resurrection. And he says in verse number 9, for I am the least of the apostles, and that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. In other words, it had some value. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preached, and so you guys believed. Verse 12. Now, let's address this issue. Now listen, congregation. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? How is it? You guys, some of you guys in the church are saying there was no resurrection. There wasn't. He's like, over 500 people saw him after his resurrection. I saw him myself. And the scriptures talked about it and said it was going to happen. So how is there that there's some of you that you think you're so smart that you're going to deny something that's a historical event? That people know happened. That's a factual thing, this resurrection of Jesus Christ. What in the world are you thinking? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, if there is no resurrection, then Christ is not risen. He's still in the grave somewhere over there in Jerusalem. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain. And your faith is vain. Listen, if Jesus did not resurrect from the grave, he is not the Messiah. And if you believe in a fake Messiah, you're going to go to hell. And I'm a liar. And we're all going to go to hell. And we are all going to be, of most men, we're going to be the most miserable because we spent our lives believing a stinking lie. Yeah, right. And there's so many things that we didn't do because we're believers in Jesus Christ. But if he's not the Messiah, we're going to have spent our whole lives with hope in something that couldn't end up saving us. And we're going to end up in hell anyway. That's why we have to know that this resurrection is true. This was a historical event. It wasn't a nursery rhyme. It happened. And we cannot let it be thrown out the window. Because if Christ is not risen, then he's not the Savior. And if there is no resurrection of Jesus, there will be no resurrection of you either. Yea, and we are found false witnesses. We're liars. We're false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then it is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. And ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Listen, if this resurrection didn't take place, your mom and dad that you thought were in heaven are in hell today. Your grandma and grandpa that you thought, for surely they went to heaven because they were believers, they're in hell this morning too, and they're burning hot, suffering. And so you see that this resurrection of Christ is foundational, it's fundamental. If you throw away the resurrection, you throw away the whole Christian faith. Now we're sinners, and we're bad sinners. Every one of us in here, me included, are bad sinners, and every one of us deserves to go to hell. That's the truth. Amen. The question is this, is will you put your faith in Jesus Christ so that you can be saved? Amen. Now you can say, I reject that. All right, fine. You get to heaven yourself. You think you can? Can you resurrect yourself from the grave? You can't even keep yourself from dying. How do you think you're ever going to be able to resurrect yourself from the grave? You can't even keep from sinning. How are you ever going to forgive yourself of sin? Think. You got to think. The reason that we need Jesus Christ is because we're sinners and we need a Savior. And to reject that truth is to reject the possibility of being saved. And only when a man or a woman comes to terms that I'm a lost sinner and I cannot get to heaven on my own, and there is a heaven and there is a hell and Jesus is the only way, can a person put their faith in Jesus Christ and call on Him, and He will forgive you all your sins. I don't care how rotten you've been. I don't care how bad you've been. I don't care what you've done, said, whatever. You talk about somebody that can forgive your sins. It's God's only begotten Son. Amen. And you know it's true. So why do you fight it so hard? See, and the answer to that is because you know if you followed Jesus Christ, you would have to make some changes and you would have to change your life. And you're so happy being your own God that you don't want to leave it. It's too bad you cannot be your own Savior. And because you want to be your own God, you're going to go where all people go who are their own gods. Right. Now, you can get mad at me, or you can accept the truth. Am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? But because Jesus Christ is risen, verse number 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now, I love that, but now, Christ is risen. But now He changes everything. It changes everything that He is risen. He is risen. And those old Pharisees and scribes, those religious leaders in the day who said, you can't even save yourself. How can you save others? He came out of the grave.
That's right.
And you are going to die one day. And it ain't going to be very long from now. And you better have a relationship with someone that can control you for the better when that happens to you. Any of you guys fully expect, if the Lord tarries long enough, fully expects to miss death? I think it's 100% unanimous. We're all going to die. Are you ready when you die? You might say, I'm not ready. You can be ready today.
Right.
If you put your faith in Jesus Christ and you call on Him to be your Lord, that's all. You got to believe and you got to call and you can be saved.
You've been listening to Here's Hope, a ministry of Bible Baptist Church. Check us out online at hearshope.org. You can contact us by writing to Bible Baptist Church, P.O. Box 487, West Union, Ohio 45693, or by calling us at 937-544-1818. If you don't already attend another church, we'd love for you to give us a try. Thanks for listening, and we hope you have a great week.
You say I belong to you, apart from the things I do. You say I belong to you. Amen. Things I do. You say I belong to you. I'm in awe. Why you do? Why you do? You say I belong to you. Apart from the